Yeah. 30 years ago, and they said yes to God and gave their lives, their all. And you know, I think about how that, what it meant, what it took, you know, this, they were just kids then. I mean, really. And started in their home. This church started in their home. They said in that first home meeting, they had about, you know, whatever, 6, 8, 10, 12 people. And that's how this church started. And you, all of you here, are a result of that. You are the fruit of that. And not only are you the fruit of that, but you're the seed for all the fruit that's yet to come. Amen. But I just wanted to honor Pastor Jerry and Jita, because without this couple, this place wouldn't be here. This couple obeying God. And I just honor them today. And I know them, and I know that they are, you know, probably embarrassed by this kind of focus on them, and, you know, shy away from any attention on them. And I, look, that's their job. They're supposed to stay humble. But they're responsible for that. That's not my job. And it's not your job. And my job is to honor them. The Bible clearly says to give honor and double honor to those who lead and teach us in the truth. And so I just give honor to you guys. And I bless you all. And but I'll tell you what, here's what I think, and that is that it is so wonderful, and it is right to celebrate all of what God's done in the past. But as you stand there at this moment is a precipice. It's not just a milestone, but it's a launching pad. Because we don't look back, we look backward for a moment to thank God. But from this point, we move forward. Hallelujah. Amen. And it just kind of made me think of a mantra. Here's a good mantra. Forward by faith. What do you think of that? Oh, wait a minute. You got it on t-shirts, don't you? There you go. Forward by faith. And and I just know that there's so many great things ahead for you and for this church. Well, will y'all stand with me for the reading of the word? Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Paul said, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Kora, I feel the presence of God in this place right now. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for your presence, the Holy Spirit in this place. Father God, I pray, God, open the hearts of the people and speak. Father, use me as an instrument in your hands. We humble ourselves today before your word. Father God, we're not here, God, just to receive a word to bless us. We're here to receive a word to challenge us, to rise up, and God, fulfill the call that you have on our lives. Father God, I humble myself before you, and I honor you, and I give you glory for your word and for what you're about to do, in Jesus' name. And everybody shout a big amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thanks, y'all. Hallelujah. Well, before I dive into this, let me tell you why I'm preaching this today. I come to you with a burden, and here is my burden. Over the last several years, there has been unleashed in our society, our culture, some ungodly things, demonic things, like I've never seen before. And one of them, I think one of the greatest, is a spirit of fear. And it's not only affected the culture, the world, but it's affected the church. Christians, since the time of the pandemic, I mean, you know, yes, there are certain things. I mean, you probably all along we should have been more cautious about certain things. But that's different than carrying out our life being motivated by a spirit of fear. Fear is a demonic spirit. And that spirit has been unleashed even in the church. And it's brought despair. It's brought discouragement. I've seen it. People, many have lost their drive to dream like they used to. They've lost vision. And they've gone into more a mode, they don't even realize it, a mode of surviving. Getting by. And let me tell you something. The Father never sent Jesus, his Son, to the cross just so you could get by. Just so you could survive. He went to the cross and shed his life blood, not only to bear your sins, but to break the back of that spirit of fear off of your life. In order for the church to carry on her business and affect our culture, we have to be free of that spirit of fear that brings despair, discouragement, depression. And you know, I want to say this, and I say this in a spirit of love, but I want to say something to any and all who are watching online today. Thank God we have this facility, this vehicle, and this opportunity. But I want to say, if you're relying on that for your church experience, are you ready for this? That's all right. I'm going home after I preach this. I'm leaving the state. If you're relying on that vehicle for your church experience and relationship, you're doing it out of either laziness or out of a spirit of fear. You're afraid to come and gather with the saints. But I want to ask you a question. The way our culture is going, and people don't like to hear this, but we have lived in a small window of time in history, an unusual time in history of about 200 years. 250 years, where we are the only segment of time in history that has not had to stand for our faith at the expense of our life. We've not had to face being a martyr, being persecuted. It hasn't cost us anything. But folks, I don't know where this thing's headed. You say, well, wait a minute, we're faith people. You know, we believe. I'm a faith person too. But if you read your Bible, you will see that as we move more and more toward the end, the Bible says that sin will grow, will be grossly darker and darker as grace gets brighter and brighter. So yes, the church will become stronger, more powerful, full of grace. But our culture will get darker. So I don't know where this is headed. And I ask you, what if it comes to the place where it really costs you? Let's say not even your life, but it costs you your job. It costs you your finances, real persecution. So if you can't even stand up enough without a spirit of fear to come to church and hang out with your brothers and sisters in church, how are you ever going to suffer any kind of persecution for the name of Christ? Thank you for those five patty cakes. Now look, the way I understand it, you all asked me to come here to tell you the truth. And I'm just telling you the truth. Yes, do what you need to do. Take the right precautions. But let me tell you something. Shed that spirit of fear. Because if we're going to move forward as the church, the church is to be a church triumphant, a church glorious. And in order to do that, we're going to have to be bold. We're going to have to be courageous. We're going to have to be daring. We're going to have to be willing to step out by faith and believe that God is going to protect us. All right. So anyway, that's my burden. That's my burden. And out of that, I want to break this down today. If any of you know anything about how I go about preaching, I like to dig into the words and break this thing down. So here we go. We're going to break it down. So let's start this way. Watch this. In verse 16, Paul says, therefore, we do not lose heart. So he starts by making this bold declaration, we do not lose heart. Isn't it interesting? I love it. He doesn't say, you know what? This might help us, dear people, dear saints, to not lose heart sometimes. He says, no, we don't lose heart. To lose heart means to become discouraged, disheartened, in despair, full of fear, and to lose hope. And Paul says, we just don't do those things. We just don't do it. Now, think about it. Paul is telling you, I have found a way. I'm trying to help you. I've found a way to live in a place, in a way, to where no matter what hell breaks out in your life, you will never fall into despair or hopelessness or fear or discouragement. I found a way in all circumstances to live in victory, to live in faith, to keep peace and joy in your hearts. Now, if that's what Paul's telling us, I want to find out how he does that. And what he does in this passage is he gives us keys, a few keys to how he does that. And here's what they are. Watch this now. Notice he begins with the word therefore. Everybody say therefore. Therefore. Now, therefore is a powerful word. Anytime you see the word therefore in the Bible, you immediately need to ask yourself, what is it therefore? Because if the word therefore is there, it's there for a reason. Right? Watch this. The word therefore means because. But when you see therefore, it's always pointing backwards. So Paul is saying, because of what I just said, I don't lose heart. You get that? Because of what I just said, I always walk in victory. I never get discouraged. So we need to find out what he just said. So we go backwards to verse 13. And we see this. Oh, get ready. I'm doing digging now. We're going to get there to the mountaintop. Verse 13. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I speak. Now, what Paul is referring to is David, King David. David in the Old Testament said this. He said, I believed and therefore I spoke. I speak. So Paul said, just like David said that, we also believe and therefore speak. So Paul is talking about his faith here. A little side point, I don't want to belabor it, but we always, if we're going to walk in faith and without getting bogged in a spirit of fear and despair, we always have to speak what we believe and not speak what we see or what we feel or what we hear. Now, that's another whole subject. I don't want to dive into that, but you've just got to get that under your belt, baby. You're never going to get there by always grumbling and complaining about what you feel, what you see, what's happening. Paul says, I'm trying to tell you, I don't lose heart because of what I just said. And what I just said is I always speak what I believe. Now watch this. Come on, listen. He goes on to verse 14. He says, so we also believe and therefore speak, verse 14, knowing. Now I love this. Watch this. We believe knowing. Now folks, there is a difference between knowing and believing. Paul did not say, I don't lose heart, get discouraged and fear. I don't do that. Not because of what I believe. He didn't say that. He said, I don't lose heart because of what I know. And what I believe is based on what I know. Ha! Oh, I love this. I just love the Bible. You see, your faith is not some ambiguous. Well, I believe. I get tired of people just saying, oh, I just trust God, believe. Well, I want to know, on what basis do you believe? What scriptures, what truth, what doctrine are you grabbing hold of? What do you know that makes you believe? Are you believing is just some kind of lifeline out there throwing out some mantra? Paul says, I believe based on what I know. Ah! What did he know? He said, I believe, watch this, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. A little side note, watch this. Sometimes when Paul talks about redemption, he focuses on the cross. Or on the death, or on the burial. It's because he's making a different point. Here he doesn't do that. He only focuses on the resurrection. Why? What he's saying is, here's why I don't lose heart. Because when Jesus came out of the grave, what happened is God broke Satan's hold on Jesus, where death no longer held him, sin no longer held him, disease no longer held him, fear no longer held him. Despair no longer. Watch this. Jesus broke loose from that. And because what he's saying is because Jesus broke loose from that and was now free, we are now free. As he raised up Jesus, he will also raise us up. Ah, you get that. Now Paul is saying, that's why I don't lose heart. I didn't just hear a song in church and get a chill down my spine. No, I've been digging in the Word and I know some stuff. I want to ask you a question. What do you know? So anyway, let's go back to verse 16. Oh, we haven't got to the good part yet. Just hold on, folks. Listen to this. Keep your dancing shoes under the seat. All right. Verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Even though our outward man is perishing. Now, watch this. Let's look at this. He said, I don't get in fear. I don't get in despair, discouragement. Even though the outward man is perishing. In other words, no matter what hell comes against me, No matter what devastation, no matter what darkness or attack or trouble or crisis, he says, I do not lose heart. Watch this. Even though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Now, folks, watch this. He's giving us a key. Here's how I don't lose heart. If I were studying this looking, the way I would highlight this, look at this. Even though, is it on? Or there you go. Even though our outward, I would highlight or put a circle around outward. Outward man. And then yet the inward, I would circle inward and highlight inward. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. What Paul is doing here is he is introducing, not for the first time, he speaks about it other places, he's introducing this powerful truth that we live in two worlds, that there's our outer man that is our flesh with our senses, our feelings, our mind, our emotions, our reasonings, our whole body. That's all the outer man. And he's delineating that from the man on the inside, the spiritual man. And so he's saying, now watch this, I don't lose heart because I know that even though things are attacking my outward man, I can live in such a way that they don't touch my inner man. Ah. The inner man is the real you. I love that. Hallelujah. The outward man belongs to this world. It came from the dust and it's going to return to the dust. But the real you on the inside, the inner man, does not belong to this world. You live in two worlds. When this body goes back to the earth, the real you is going to go to heaven and going to live forever because you don't belong here, which means you don't get your instructions from this world. I love this. Paul in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 or 20, Paul calls us ambassadors for Christ. Everybody say ambassadors. Now watch this. I love that because you know what an ambassador is? An ambassador is an emissary sent out from his home country into a foreign land to represent that home country in that foreign territory. And when that ambassador goes, he is representing the will of the government of his homeland. And to do that, watch this. All of his resources do not come from that foreign territory. It comes from his homeland. All the military of his homeland is what is available to him. And I love this. An ambassador has diplomatic immunity, which means he cannot be judged by the laws of the territory that he's in. Now, you'll just chew on that a little bit. And Paul calls us ambassadors. Paul said, I'm trying to tell you, baby, why I don't ever lose heart. I don't get discouraged, full of fear. You want to know why? Because I realize that all that stuff can only touch my flesh. And whatever hits my flesh is not the real me anyway. The real me is going to, even if this flesh dies, the real me is going to slip out of these surly bonds of this flesh, and it's going to split the heavenly skies and live with Jesus forever without any sickness or pain or death. Are you with me now? So Paul, you see how Paul is trying to give us certain keys to how he can live without losing heart. He says, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. If I was studying this, I would circle the word renewed, but then I would underline day by day. renewed, circled, underlined, day by day. And here's why. Watch this. Paul says, I don't ever lose heart because I've understood that the inner man, the real me, the spiritual man, lives by being renewed every single day. Now, this is very important. Why does the spiritual man, why do you have to be renewed every single day? I've had people ask me, say, Pastor Rick, in all the years I pastored, Pastor Rick, why doesn't God just, why do I have to keep on having God deal with me about something else? Just about the time I feel I've got my act together and I've got some sense of, whoo, I'm really on my way now, then all of a sudden God reveals another layer. And man, now I got to get on my knees and repent. I got to struggle with my faith. I got to grind the thing out. Then I get on top of it. Get the victory. Then, hallelujah. I'm on my way. And then 6 months later, God reveals another layer. I've had them ask me, God, Pastor, why doesn't God just unravel all the layers at one time and deal with all the stuff at once? Why doesn't he just pull all the mess out, clean everything up, and give me all the grace and faith that I need? Why doesn't he do all of it right now at one time so I could be done with it and on my way? You want to know why? It's because God is more interested in you living close to him than he is in fixing everything for you. We think the whole method or mode of prayer is that we cry out to God so he can fix stuff for us. Well, he does fix stuff for us many times. But that's not his highest motive. His highest motive, sometimes, I'm going to tell you, sometimes God will leave some stuff unfixed for you so he can fix you. Because you see, here's the thing. If God fixed everything for you at once, clean you all up, where you didn't, then 6 months from now, you would be complacent. You wouldn't be seeking God every day. You would say, I'm fine and on my way. You would lose your passion and draw distant from God. Because let's be honest, it's only really when you're desperate that you seek God the most. It's your troubles, your adversity, your pain in life that keeps you on your face before God every single day. That's why God gives you children. To keep you on your knees every day. Hey, see, yeah, you laugh like that because you know it's the truth. Some of you ladies, that's why God gave you a husband. Oh, Lord, 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 Lord. All right, I got to stop meddling and get back to the word now. But isn't it the truth? So God made us. You ready for this? God made us. Am I done? I mean, usually when the music starts, you're done. I'm just getting started, man. Maybe this is intermission. Oh, he's going to back me up. Oh, I like that. Except I'm not very good at hooping. I can try, though. Watch it. Listen. No, I'm joking. No, you don't even want me to go there. Listen. Alone. Yay. All right, listen. Here we go. So, you know what? Listen to this. So, because of that, God, you ready for this? This is going to surprise me. God purposefully designed you or made you to leak. It's like your spirit's got this big opening at the top where you can pull in the grace of God, the love, the presence of God, the Word of God. But somewhere in the bottom, you got a couple of holes. And you're leaking all the time. So you seek God this morning, have a great time in prayer, and the whole day you feel like the heavens are wide open to you. Then you wake up the next morning and say, "Woo, I felt so good yesterday. I'm not going to pray today. I'm not going to seek God. I'm okay." And by the end of the day, you're saying, "Man, where did that grace go? I feel like I'm trudging through the mud with combat boots." You don't want to know why? It's because you leak. God made you like a bucket that leaks. And the reason he did is because he wants you to keep coming to the well every day so he can keep filling you. Because as long as you keep coming to the spout where the glory comes out, he is at the end of that spout, and you'll be close to him. So just remember that. In all of your believing for everything to change and all the mountains to move, remember that God's ultimate goal is through all that believing and standing in faith, God's doing something in you to draw you closer to him. And that's his ultimate goal. And Paul is saying understanding that is one of the main reasons why I don't lose heart. I don't get in a spirit of fear because I keep filling the bucket every single day. So people wonder, "Well, I don't know why I'm just keep getting the spirit of fear." Well, your bucket's dry. All right, so let's go on. Verse 17. I love this. He says, "For our light afflictions." Now, again, folks, are you getting this by now? When you study the Bible, I always say, when you read the Bible, read it, honey. Read it. Don't pass over the words. Because really, this whole passage begins to be unlocked to us when we understand the word therefore and for. We already spoke of therefore. This word for means the same thing as therefore. It means because. Except it's opposite. Therefore is pointing backwards, saying because of what I just said. For is saying because of what I'm about to say. So now Paul is telling us another thing. Why I don't lose heart is because of what I'm about to say. See, this is the stuff Paul knows. So he says this. I don't lose heart because our light affliction. And I want to say, what? Light affliction? Come on, baby Paul. What are you talking about? You're offending me. You know what I've been through, and you're calling all that stuff light? Well, let me tell you something, dear heart. Paul suffered shipwreck. He was snake bitten. He was stoned nearly to death. He was beaten with chains. Paul suffered so much, and he calls all of that light afflictions. Light of how in the world? He's given us a key here. He said one of the keys to the reason I don't get a spirit of fear, I don't get in despair or discouraged, is because I see my affliction as light. How does he see it as light? Watch this. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Here's the first key. He sees his affliction as light because he understands it's momentary. That it's not going to last. that this too shall pass. See, Paul understands spiritually, hey, baby, I can get through this in faith and victory because I know I've only got to stand a little while and I'm going to outlast the devil because this trouble is not going to last. Hallelujah. Paul said, think it not strange concerning the trial would beset you, because with it God will make a way of escape. Paul says, I don't lose heart because I know it's only a matter of time and God's going to get me through. It's momentary. Now, I love that. And that's one of the big problems many times Christians have, is they get into a battle or some really face some tough time or crisis. And especially it's not those short ones, those that last a while. They seem to wear us down. And then what happens is gradually our trouble seems to be so big to us that we put it like our hand in front of our face where it becomes everything. We can't see anything else. So watch this. What happens is we begin to see life through the lens of our pain instead of seeing our pain through the lens of all the beauty in our life that God's given us. And then what happens is it becomes so insurmountable that our trouble seems like it's going to be the end of us. How many people in this place have said at some time, felt you've gone through something terrible, maybe even right now, and you think, oh my God, this is the end. Especially if someone loses a loved one or some major business failure or some other financial crash or something else. This thing goes in their mind. This is it. There can be no life after this. It's over. There's no way I can recover and have the kind of life that I had before. And I want to tell you something. You don't know that this thing is momentary. You know, my mother, what a jewel she is. And my mother, when my dad died a number of years ago, after he died, she kept telling us, her kids, that said, I want to go on to heaven. I'm ready. I've lived a good life, and there's nothing more here for me, and I just want to go. She kept saying it, going to be heaven. Then one day, a good family friend that we've known for years, his wife died. And my mom went to have a cup of coffee with this man, this dear friend, to console him. And when she did, she ended up consoling him right to the altar. And I'll never forget, listen to this, I'll never forget the day she came to me. Him and her came to me. And she was all emotional like a teenage girl. It was very awkward for me. Y'all know kids never want to see their parents like this. She was all, I've fallen in love. 80 years old. I've fallen in love and we want to get married. I think, oh, Jesus. I said, well, okay. You know, I'm thinking, you know, we'll walk through this process. You're going to have, you know, your whole, you know, time together to work this thing. And she says, no. She says, we want to get married right away. She said, we don't want to wait. I said, why? Are you pregnant? Now, I honestly told her that. But of course, I was joking. I mean, look, if she was, you would have seen it on the cover of magazines everywhere. 80-year-old. No, she was afraid they were going to die. And she wanted to get married before they die. So they got married at 80. And now next month, she's going to be 94 years old. They've been married 14 years. Yeah. And now she stands up and says, I had no idea the kind of life that God could give you when you think life is over and there's no more hope, that God has another season for you just over the hill. It's momentary. It's momentary. It's momentary. Everybody shout, it's momentary. Momentary. So he says, For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You ready for this? Is working. Oh, Jesus. When I was studying this one day and I just came to it, it's working. I just about fell on the floor. I don't lose heart because I've discovered my troubles are light because I know they're working. And it all of a sudden hit me. It changes everything. When I know that the hell I'm going through is not being wasted, that I'm not going through it for nothing, that every bit of it is working. It's working. Ah, even though I don't feel it, it's working. Even though I don't see it, it's working. He never stops, never stops working. Oh, you reckon God knew I was going to preach this message today? Even though I don't feel it, it's working. Even though I don't see it, it's working. He never stops working. Listen, yeah. Now, just stay up here. I'm about finished. Listen to this. Everybody just be seated a moment. If you can, yeah. Listen to this. It changes everything. I mean, it's a different game. The moment I understand that every time I've been through a dark hour, every time I've cried my eyeballs out because of the pain I felt when I suffered loss and felt like there's no hope, once I come to the realization, every day, every moment, every pain I've suffered, every hurt, every wound, every loss, not one drop of it has been wasted. When things didn't make sense, when there seemed to be no hope, when I thought, God, how in the world could this be good? That I couldn't see it, but now I know it's working. That it's always working for me. For me. Now it's interesting. The word working here means to reproduce or to produce. So every tear you shed, every pain you experience, all your trouble, every bit of it is producing something. What is it producing? He said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Ah, there it is. Paul says, I got it. I don't get in despair or fear or lose heart or get discouraged because I know that through my pain that God is setting me up. He's producing a weight of glory for me beyond the grave in eternity. You see, the problem many Christians have is they think God pays on Friday. God does not pay on Friday. He doesn't reconcile things here. So you're going to have to get a grip on it and accept the fact that some things may never make sense here, because God does not reconcile things here. But when we get to heaven, all that mess is going to be reconciled in heaven. It'll all make sense. And God is going to bring payday in heaven. Everybody stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Because even though I don't see it, he's working. Team, come up. Even though I don't feel it, he's working. I know God prophetically caused this worship team to sing this today. I knew I had a burden on my heart. Can you feel this burden today? Folks, today, both in this house and online, I'm challenging you today. Will you leave behind you today that spirit of fear and put on and be clothed with today the clothing of righteousness that has the character of courage, faith, boldness, and fearlessness? Will you do that today? Because you know that he is a way maker. He's a promise keeper. Oh, baby, this song preaches my message today. Sing it right now.